Good morning, everybody. All of you survived from the holiday. And I'm glad that you survived. We're going to talk about the Dharma, Buddha Dharma, this morning. Begin with the self-center. Begin with the self-center. The self-center, that what I mean is bring your attention, bring your thoughts completely right here. Where? Right here where you're sitting. Wherever you're sitting. As I talk, I want you to follow the instruction. Multiple thoughts, scattered thoughts, confused thoughts, all bring into one spot. And that spot is where you're sitting right now. By doing that, your mind, your body begin to harmonize. By doing that, your mind began to relax. When your mind is relaxed, your body automatically relaxes. Your body never relaxes if your mind is not relaxed. So, yeah, Michael, can you help those door open? There is some bottom, there is locked. Some of you have to come to the middle row or front row, if you don't mind. Yeah. Adjust a little bit. Okay, so Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. We are interrupt. So we are talking about how we can relax, how we can harmonize body and mind. We talk about without mind is calmed down, without the calming our mind down, the body is never experiencing peace and harmony. The harmony, heart rate goes down, body relaxes, has something to do with your patterns of the thoughts and your tensions on the thought, and also interpretations on your thought, a concept, how you interpret it, how you attach to it, or how you bothered with that thought. See, too sweet can be problem, but too sour can be even problem. So it's a too much either is a problem. What they don't know is we don't know is something we want so much, therefore we forget it's hurting you. And something bothers us too much, we dislike and against them so much, but don't realize how much it's hurting you. So too much anything is not good. Even a delicious food might be too much, might be too much. So that means anything, everything, too much is too much. But what I'm talking about here is harmonizing mind and body. Relationship, mind and body, came from long way. It's hard to separate. And the majority of people have no clue it's one or two. When body heart hurts, mind hurts. When mind hurts, even a body effect on it. But their relationship came from long way. Since we conceived and until we separated mind from the body, which means cremation take place, or mind leave the body and the body become corpse. And a corpse get colder because there is no mind and inside. And the nerve system dysfunctioning for once and for all. And no movement. Oh. It become animate or inanimate. Difference between animate and inanimate. Living, not living. Like piece of rock or piece of dirt, like that. But if we don't learn how to focus properly, and if we don't learn how to put all intention into one place, and if we don't know how to harmonize body and mind, we have very difficult to meditate. We will have very difficult to benefit from practice, let's say meditation, You are using the concept of meditation, but you are not really using the meditation of meditation. You're not using the meditation, you are using concept of meditation in your mind. The fact is, you're not doing meditation. Because you are all over, you are everywhere, your thoughts is not together, it's everywhere. Your thoughts is confused. When your thoughts, your mind is confused, how come the body is relaxed and meditation is happening? No, because your mind is confused, and a confusion is what you're contributing with your body. Confusion is only you're sharing with your body. In other words, stress is what you distribute to your body, which is very powerful, harmful aging process, disease, unwanted disease. All of those, you're making yourself more, word I use is vulnerable, like weak. You're making yourself very weak so that you can be very sicky very soon. Because nobody is perfect and nobody free from sickness. On contrary, so let's stop talking, put it into action. The action is, I want you to harmonize your body and mind. See, you can bring all your thoughts in one spot where you're sitting right now. Your thoughts one-pointedly rest wherever you're sitting. If your thoughts are one-pointedly resting, then just like word it says resting, your mind is one-pointedly, one spot resting, you are not troubling, you are not jumping, you are not scattered it. You are in one spot. Resting the mind, the resting the mind is just like word it says, resting your mind on your cushion. Absence of confusion, absence of discursive thoughts, absence of negative emotions, absence of stress, absence of dullness, absence of anything that you name it, free from everything. Meditate. So bring all your thoughts in one place and center yourself. Center of your universe, center of yourself, or center of everything. It's with or within yourself. With or within yourself, find that and be able to relax on that. It's a powerful practice. And if you need that practice, then you should do it. So next part is I'm going to talk about the right thought, because we're talking about thoughts. So that maybe this is the right word. It comes from the Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, right thoughts, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. And a particular section is the right thoughts. Right thoughts. How important right thoughts versus not spending time with the confused thought too much. So choices are multiple. Choice are multiple. Many, many different things you can choose, and then you can get into it. It's like supermarket. You can have too many things you can buy or touch or talk about it and see like that. So they are different. But the key point here is what you're going to choose. So hoping that you will choose right thought. Everything but right. Right is R-I-G-H-T, right. Right one. Right thought also refers to be as a right attention. Attention has something to do with right motivation, right intention. Intention means that our thoughts are feeling and desire. We have feelings. Humans have a lot of feelings. Some humans have, they never follow their intellectual, they just follow their feelings. Lot of trouble, by the way. Lot of trouble. But you follow with the feeling also. Feelings are dominated sensories, sensory faculties, what you see, what you taste, what you experience, you attach to it. And you follow that, basically. So, feeling, desire, and a complete harmony with the correct perception. Correct perception has a little bit difficult to explain, because the perception, what we perceived, may not be perceiving reality. We might be perceiving, looks wonderful, good, but it might be very harmful, and it might be you're not seeing real stuff. You're just seeing different than what you're really looking for. But how you know when you don't know? That's how you get confused. So, it says, correct perception of reality that we developed through our practice of right view. First of all, foremost, nobody seems to have a right view, although by birth we have Buddha nature, we are basically very good people. But as we grow up, begin to talk, begin to sucking milk from mother, from that on until now, a lot of things happened and a lot of things changed. Not necessarily good anymore. Not necessarily good anymore. Although you might say survivor. Survival means you have to change as time goes on. Our age change, our ability change, our situation change, society change, and a crowd of all living beings where you are, they all change. You also have no choice except change. But not necessarily all the change happen is good either. So, reality that we develop through our practice of right view. Right view is accumulation of wisdom that eventually you will have right view. Accumulation of wisdom means collecting drop of wisdom become a bowl of wisdom. That's collection of wisdom. Analysis is very important because everybody can relate with that. When our thoughts are informed by a correct view of reality, they are in accordance with the way reality actually functions. Majority unenlightened beings, reality is not what they see. Delusion, confusion is what they see. So they can't see reality. They will have no correct reality, no correct view of reality yet, because it's hard to see it. When we practice the right thoughts, under the supervise with the great masters, great teachers, Buddhas and Bodhisattva, how you gonna find those? If you're smart, you should find them. So it says, when we practice the right thoughts, our thoughts and intentions are free from selfish. Something to do with the free from selfish. That's a guideline. If anything to do with the selfish, then it becomes little confusion, little problem. Because liberation is not available for selfish people. The liberation is available selflessness people. Selflessness people means you do everything for others. So, that's a guideline right there. Then it says the thoughts and intentions are free from selfish desire. And wherever there is a desire, there will be some hostilities, bad words, negative emotions. Because in order to keep your desire, you have to use those negative words. So hostility and cruelty. You tell me it's cruel or not, somebody can talk, we just eat them. Is that cruel or not? You figure out. Anything in the universe and the Mother Earth provides, it turns into dinner. They're all part of the dinner, as long as it's not one of your kind. You may not eat that if it's one of your kind. You will say, I have to think about this. Give me a few more days or something. But again, it can change, by the way. It can change. Why it can change? The history of mankind, reading back to a few thousands, it's always change. So why not it will change in future? What clue we have it's not going to change. So that's something can change. We might eat our own kind. So therefore, then there is nothing we don't eat unless it's eatable. Unless it's not eatable. If it's a rock, if it's something otherwise, it's all good. Todo está bien. I throw Spanish word make you laugh because my pronunciation is up. So it says, here it says, right thought means that our thinking, attitude, and motivation are aligned. It's on the line up nice where it should be, aligned with love, kindness, compassion. Compassion is a powerful, but you have to have a little love before that. Love, compassion. So in a sense, love, and compassion. Compassion doesn't happen before you have to have a connection and love. It could be conditional love, but the conditional love means because they be nice to you. But you can transform that unconditional love where even they don't do nice, you're going to love them anyway. You love them because of just their existence rather than you love them because you need them. Two different. And one is conditional love and one is unconditional love. And I want you to practice unconditional love because that's more valuable. So, it says, with love, kindness, compassion, with love, kindness, compassion, produce some wisdom. Where this wisdom you can gain? Where you gonna get? Supermarket? Or grocery shop? No. You have to earn it. You have to accumulate it. You have to stack on. You have to make them bigger. Just like you stack on your money, dinero. You know, you save money. It says that most people like to save. Anything you can save is you save your money. Anything else. You don't try to save your life as much as you save your money. And how I know that? If the doctor tell you it's too much, nobody can save you anymore. That's how you realize. You didn't save yourself, you save money. So I'm not going to talk about negative about money because money is instrumental and it's very useful. To communication, to make somebody smile. Money is good. But money is not everything. You need to watch out. Make sure you're not running out before the money running out. When I say you're running out, it means your life. Side by side with the money, see it go well or you're going to run out before the money ran out. The ironic word I use is majority, they don't concern about how much life they have left because several reasons they don't know how long they live. Other reason is they really, that's not clear how long you're going to live. So you put it aside. But the money seems like it's measurable. And how is it measurable? One goes two goes three. So 100 goes 1,000, 1,000 goes 100,000, million. There's always a counting. And what you accumulate, you don't want to touch. But what you don't have, it's your focus. Not that I'm a businessman, not that I care about the money in that level, but I can feel how the people tension is. I can just feel without nobody have to explain me. Nothing. Zero. But I can feel. So based on that, I'm telling you, They worry about the money, and by the time they have $1 million or 100,000, the Sanskrit or the Hindi lakh, 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 3 lakh, 4 lakh, or 4 lakh, 10 lakh, or do lakh. Those are Hindi words. So those words, they count that. The problem is, you got only a few days left. And you're worried that your leftover money might be fall into wrong person's hand. But do you really have any choice? What you gonna do? I'm telling you, nothing is waste. The government is happy to take care. Every government needs money. So don't worry about it. And we think we own everything, but the government own everything. See, the planet Earth, the continentals, there are many continents. We think that people own it. Actually, government owns everything. You know how we know? Is if you own, you pay tax. Then tax, why you pay tax is you don't own, government own it. And you are fighting with the government? No way. You cannot fight government. Because government is huge, one big, and you are just dirt. So, the funniest thing is that people believe they own something, and they have a piece of paper they're hanging on it. They keep this paper that says, I think it's called title or something. And they own this piece of paper holding this paper. They said that we own something. Really, you don't own. Who is the ultimate arm? The government own it. Besides, there are other beings on your property more than you own. The bugs, the insects, termites, they really own it. They really live. They were there before you come in. They will be continue there when you leave. Let's concentrate here. So anyway, love, kindness, compassion brings wisdom. And the more wisdom we have, less we harm ourselves, less we harm others. Harmlessness. Action will be more ourselves for others, the more wisdom we have. So that's the message here. Also, we unconditionally extend this altruistic mindset, these noble qualities, to all living beings. We need to think all living beings part of the package. We are part of all living beings. Don't forget that you are only one have problem. You're not only one have problem. We are part of globe. But all living beings are part of same package. So, to all living beings, like right view, right thought is also directly related to other aspects of Eightfold Path, such as right speech, right action. We don't have right thought. Why you think you're going to have right speech? When the mind is not in the right place, you're expecting you're going to say polite, nice, respectful words? No. It's impossible. So basically, the speech we use, we communicate, has a lot to do with where is your mind is. In a good place or in a bad place? Two people fight each other. In the mind, they are very uneasy, confused, and their words come out also very negative. and they exchange those words. And they get regret later on, feel like that's useless. I shouldn't done that. Regret later on, that means you know it's not, you made a mistake and wrong, but when your mind is confused, there is no other choice except confused words you exchange. So here it is saying, the way we think directly influences our speech and action. Now we're going one step down. Action. What we do with our body has a lot to do with our thoughts. How we move, how we do things, hand, body, physical activities, has a lot to do with mental decisions. Mental decisions. The mind tell you what to do, or mind confused, and the speech confused, and action confused. Why we do steal and kill people and do nasty things? I guarantee it's not their choices to do that. It was so confused. Their mind was so confused. They had no other choice except do according with the confused mind. So the people do negative things, so we should have a more patience and compassion rather than angry and say bad things. They don't need that because they already had that. Let's give something they don't have. Kindness, compassion, understanding. If the person is a disease, sick, dying, you should comfort and give something what helpful for them rather than beat up or give more poison. Don't give more stress. They have plenty of stress already. Why you give extra when they already have plenty stress? That message can be handy for you because you may have to deal with that. So, therefore, our misunderstanding of reality causes a wrong thinking. Wrong thinking is dangerous. That's why we have a lot of pain and suffering in life, generally speaking, which gives rise to unvirtuous speech. Unvirtuous speech is more exercise than a virtuous speech. Why? Because we are occupied with the negative emotions. Our thought is occupied with the negative emotions. So, virtuous speech is we need, unvirtuous speech is we need to reduce. An action which in turn causes harm. Everything we say is against, everything we do is against, then against what? For your own benefit. Against what? For your own benefit for all living beings. Against for all living beings. This is a serious matter of teaching, not just joke. This is not playing around. Everything you do is against your own well-being. It's serious. But unenlightened beings don't realize, don't understand. They still sleep. They're not awake. This results not only in pain and suffering, but also in the creation of more and more negative karma. Negative karma is you make a mess, it's you're responsible to clean up. You're going to hire somebody to clean up, go ahead if you have money. But you are responsible to clean up your mess. its analysis I use as a karma. Karma, bad karma, it's not accidentally fall into your cup. The bad karma is no other than your bad thoughts and your own creation, physical and mental. So it says more and more negative karma. By the intention of being a good Buddhist practitioner, talking about Buddhism and practicing, they say they are practicing Buddhism, but they constantly, more and more, they create a negative karma. That means you are going further and further the path of liberation. But you're saying is you're getting closer and closer to the nirvana, the liberation. What you're saying is contradicts what you're doing. That's not a very good practitioner for all of us. The phenomenal world, as we perceived, is the creation of individual karma. This is a very powerful message. It's powerful to me, and hoping it's powerful for you. But the powerful message is because the phenomenal world, WORLD, world around us, as we perceive it, it's the creation of our individual karma. Your happiness, your sad, your livelihood, your happiness, your social status, everything, what you have, what you see, what you attach to, what you believe in, it's all none other than your karma. So here's saying, phenomenal world, as we perceive it, is the creation of our individual karma. By the way, no matter how many things we agree, sort of speaking, we agree on, sort of speaking, nothing is ultimately agree because each one of us has our own world, own happiness, own sad, own issue, own weakness, each one of us. So therefore, it says, fruition of our individual karma. Karma is cause and effect. Cause karma. What's karma? Karma is cause and effect. It is a result of action. And action, where it comes from? Your body, your speech, your mind. And action originated from thoughts. All the actions originated from thoughts. So you and we better think properly, positively, because the thoughts creates all the actions. The thought, T-H-O-U-G-H-T, thought, G-H-T, or thoughts, S, thoughts. So I say action originates from thoughts. Therefore, right thought deserves much mindfulness, or better practice mindfulness. Mindfulness and awareness. Because our thoughts set of chain of events that eventually create every aspect of our experience of reality during this lifetime. During this lifetime is one page. Next page is after your death. There are many pages in a book. You might think the life is very long, but it's not only too long or short. It's just one page. It's just one dream. It's just one dream. It's just one page, one lifetime. You might agree, you might not agree. That's not going to change anything. One lifetime. As a Dharma practitioner, assuming and expecting that we are all Dharma practitioners, We strive to dedicate our body, speech, and mind to the Dharma path. Dharma path, Chujilam. In Tibetan word, Chujilam, means we dedicate our body, speech, or mind. Anything we do, anything we say, anything we think is no other than spiritual and Dharma path. However, our body, speech are ruled by the mind, which makes right thoughts extremely important. So, mind controls the body and speech, as we talked about earlier. In that case, thoughts is very, mind is very important. So, I give one analysis in my book. By analogy, mind could be considered the king, and the body and speech his subjects. If the king is confused and gives order to his subjects that are negative in nature, then the subject's action to carry out these orders would have negative results and therefore create a negative karma. In contrast, if the king has a right thoughts, then his direction to his subordinate will result to their acting in a way that is a positive, bringing benefit to themselves and others. If the king is a bodhisattva, enlightened being, he's going to order all positive things for everybody. Thus, it is important that our mind has the clarity and awareness to garner control or to govern the body and speech, directing them towards positive action and the creating of positive karma. If the positive is a bigger, everything you do, everything you say, everything you think become positive. If the negative karma dominates, then everything you say, everything you think, everything you do is a negative. Now, how we differentiate, how we balance this, how you figure out that is whatever make bigger in the control, whatever makes more stronger will control. And I give another example is fire and water. Supposed to be there, I wouldn't say enemy, but they are counteract each other. A big fire, little water. What happened is little water don't do any harm if you pour into the fire. If it's a big fire, if the forest is burning, if you put a bucket of water, it's not going to make much difference. If the water is a big ocean water, and you put a little burning fire there, it's not going to make much difference. The fire is small, the water is big. This analysis goes with our life, the positive action, negative action. Which one is bigger in our life dominates the other one. And this story is not I made it up. All the nations on the planet Earth, it's functioning that way. All the powerful things in the living beings, the strongest one will survive, the weak ones must go. And all the human beings, the strong ones, the healthy ones, seems like they're eating and living a little longer. The weak and sick ones, they're going one after the other. This is the law of nature. And this is law of nature. But this law of nature associated with the law of karma. Law, L-A-W, law of karma. Thank you very much. Now, we're going to meditate. See, you can remember anything what I say, that I was running out of my breath for nothing? Or what? Let's meditate. So that is the Sunday Dharma talk. That's Sunday Dharma talk by Lama. So we just saw a couple of people walking now, so I may say a few words. Gana gaba ngang la gom, dona duba ngang la gom. Gado kuntanyi so neba urchor. So this, what I'm saying here is, when you are happy and healthy, or everything moving and functioning smoothly, nicely, you meditate in that atmosphere. And in other words, put into practice and the same feeling, same experiencing, same energy. And on the contrary, you're sad and confused and also pain, experiencing pain, then you bring your practice. When you're very sad, bring the practice where the sad is. And a part of practice, your sadness is a part of your practice. So you bring them that way. You didn't escape the practice. You bring the practice by using the energy of sad, pain, confusion. So you're confused, then you can say, okay, I'm confused. Let's meditate with my confusion. So you go, use the confusion, and practice meditation. You'll be amazed at what you discovered. You'll be amazed at what benefit is. If you know what I'm talking about here, if you know that. Because Gado Kuntanyu the Neperchor, the last part of word I say is no matter how happy you are, no matter how sad you are, both you can do with the meditation and practice, then pretty soon, you will be a very successful practitioner in partiality or equanimity practice. Equanimity practice means absence of too happiness, too good to be truth, too bad to be truth, the up negative. Both you bring them in equanimity. And once you are in equanimity, bad and good is no longer issue of your problem because they are part of your practice. Would that be nice? Equanimity. Equanimity, practice of equanimity. The equanimity practice is a powerful, but the whole world problem is out of equanimity. That's the reason they have problem. Well, whole world practice equanimity, there will be no problem. There will be no contradiction. If you know what I mean. So, keep that. Now, whether you agree with me or not, when you are what they call happiness, whether you notice or not, it's all happened in your mind. Whether you agree with me or not, when you are sad and confused and dysfunctioning, like mentally, you are not dysfunctioning, like down means you are down. You're very sad. You're not a normal person anymore. You're down. It's all happening in your mind. It's all, everything is the mind. Everything, action, everything happening, it's on your mind. And how disturbed to you and how you interpret it has a lot to do with your happiness and sadness and sorrow. So, once and again, if you learn to take it easy a little bit, will solve a lot of problems. And the second stage is bring into equanimity. And then that's the final, solve all the problems. But if you take it a little bit easy, will also, you can say, train things are happening, I can't handle this. I'm gone now. I'm gone. That not everything is not good. When you think that 10 things are happening, I just pick up the number very few. So 10 things are happening. You need to say, all those 10 things, I can handle it. But I'm going to make list, see which one I have to do right away, which one I can wait. And then you focus on one at a time. It's manageable. One of the Buddhist texts saying, what they call problem, humans call problem. There is no such call of problem without solution. That's the number one statement. Number two, there is no problem that you cannot handle ultimately. Because the problem you're talking about, it's your concept. The problem that you're talking about is originated from you. All you have to do is switch that back. Now you can argue, up there a lot of problems. Up there, outside, there's a lot of external problems. I can't cope with that. I can't understand this. I can't. You can argue that. What if I say the word problem, what you believe, what you perceived, is your interpretation, it is your projection. Reality, it's nothing to do with you. It's not your problem at all. But you are dwelling in it, and you're creating it. You believe in it. You're attached to it. And that is the problem. This is a Buddha and his disciples saying stories. They're saying, how we cannot harm whole living beings? How we cannot harm, kill all living beings? Asked Buddha, and the Buddha replied, that's simple. You don't have to stop killing from all the people on earth or eating each other and killing each other. All you have to do is stop yourself. You refuse to kill anybody. In other words, if you not commit negative karma, refuse to negative karma committing, then your world, you're not killing anybody. You control your world. But you can't control other people's world. Even enlightened beings and Buddhas, Bodhisattva couldn't control. And what made you think you can control everybody else's world. You control your world. Another way of saying, well, I want to protect and save all living beings under my guidance. And I don't want to kill anybody. My love and compassion so big, I don't want to kill anybody. Therefore, I think I need to make a shield, defense shield, like cover the whole country that the masses cannot go. I want to shield that. The shield is symbolized with shoes that you put on your shoes. The shoes. So the Buddha said you can't cover with the leather shield represents love and protection whole earth because that will be too much leather. How about put leather underneath your shoes so no matter where you walk, it's all protected because under the love shield of leather. So you're not killing anybody, no matter where you go, whether you go bathroom, or you go in a jungle, or city, or grassland, no problem. You're not killing anybody. In fact, you're touched with the love and all sentient being protection every step you make. Every step you make, you're contributing blessings and protection, love and kindness. Like that. Only we can do that transformation of mind. And where is the mind? We all have one. And Gana Gachokyo Dona Dokchokyo, some people they call Western here we call sensitivity or sensitive people, something like that. But they are too much sensitive also, which means small things that make you very uneasy or over-excitement, small things. And a small bad news coming from telephone or anywhere can ruin entire your day. Can affect, because you get too excited about that. So, Gana Gachokyo Dona Dokchokyo is your mind is very easy to influence feelings, emotions. So we need to be trained and focus our mind, not become teeny tiny spot. Teeny tiny sparkle, like teeny tiny, but need to be expand big mind. Because size of the universe is measured by size of your mind. Therefore, how big your mind is comprehends the size of the universe. In your universe, of course. Your universe may be a teeny tiny compared with somebody else's universe. That's because each one has different capacities, different understanding, different wisdom measured. So, I recommend we stabilize our mind more stable. No matter good things, bad things, doubts, news, things come, less effect on it. It's also called more reliable, stable person. Reliable, stable means that not too jumpy, shifting and jumpy. You can't rely on, you know, and something says, I will do this for tomorrow. But maybe they would do, maybe not, not sure because of the way he's acting. Or the way she's acting. He or she, doesn't matter. So anyway, not good. So reliable is the most stable, and not carry away with easily by small good news, small bad news. Thank you very much. Please, two things we need to talk. The Thursday, it had to be on January 1. The Dallas KTC, I guess anybody, doesn't matter. So the light the candles, if I may say that. So bring tea candles, small candles, not the huge ones, tea candle. And they get a couple dollars with many shops, Costco's, TJ Maxx, so Tom Thumb's, health food stores. So they comes with a 50 or 100 package with a couple dollars. So I recommend everybody two things. Bring candles and also lighter. Also, during 2014, your relatives and near and dear ones and their associated with the diet, bring the name. Not on a picture, hard form, paper, write down the name and piece of paper. What's going to happen is on a Thursday morning, we will have thousands of candles we will burn. We will have a chanting. And then also those people who died during 2014, their names I need to be ahead of time. I need those names. And then they will all burn the names with ritualizing with the mantra. Those who died during 2014. So if you have few people that you know, bring the name and near and dear ones, and with some candles, and tea candles, small tea candles. Today, some of you helped to set up right side, left side table and breaks. If you are not rush after the program today, some of you. Some need to be here, some need to be there. And I told a couple of people, they might help you to help. A couple of tables set up, a couple of breaks need to set up. That's done. Then last but not least is Michael Carr. He will be leading interviews with me and those people who need to talk to me. Come upstairs and talk to me. Now, we're done. Please rise and sing a song of enlightenment.